in 2020 or thereabouts. Episode 375, it seems. I covered the Most pager, M-O-S-T. And at that point, I think, I don't know if it was exactly then or a couple of months later, but sometime around then, I switched to the Most pager on my Slackware machine. All paging was set to Most. I even uninstalled Less. If you typed in Less on my Slackware system, it did not know what Less was. I had to use Most. And ever since then, so let's call it 2021, I've been using Most as my solitary pager. I want to do an update on how that's been going and compare the Most pager with the More pager and the Less pager. So, first of all, let's talk, just in case you don't know, let's talk about what a pager is. So on Unix and Linux, you've got an application called a pager. It is an application for your terminal that lets you scroll through large documents. This is important because in a terminal, the output is just sent directly into your terminal. It's just dumped there. It's called standard out, and the default location for standard out is your screen. And so if you do something like cat longdocument.txt, or you know what you could even actually do, for instance, cat /user /usr/share/ let's think of something that's got the GPL in it. Okay, so actually I'll do a find on user share doc dash type f dash iname quote asterisk GPL asterisk close quote. Let's try that. Oh yeah, that's okay. Yes, quite a few. And here's a GPL 3.0. So if I do a cat on /usr/share/doc/kActivityManagerD-5.23.5/licenses, all capitals, /gpl-3.0-only.txt, I see the last, I don't know how many lines are on my screen, probably, let's call it 50 lines. I see the last 50 lines of that file. Now, if I scroll up in my terminal with my mouse, eventually I can get to the top of that document. Ooh, it does take a while though, but I did get there. Now, I happen to know that I have a scroll up number set for my terminal of... Actually, I guess I don't know. I think it's about 1,000 lines. It might be 2,000 lines. I don't know. It's a lot. It's probably just about 1,000 lines because generally you don't need that much sort of retained in your terminal. So you just kind of tend to either accept the default or go with something reasonable. In the old days, you didn't even have that option. You couldn't just grab your mouse and scroll up because there was no mouse. You were at a monitor that was basically a direct feed out of the standard output of some kind of supercomputer. So in the old days, you didn't have the option. Nowadays, you do. You could scroll up with your mouse and find the top of that document, but that's just not an efficient way to do this. It would be better to just open a document, start at the top, and then scroll down as you read. That's the expected experience, I think. So that's what a pager provides. Instead of doing cat user share doc kActivity Manager D asterisk slash licenses slash GPL dash asterisk TXT, you could do, for instance, more slash user share doc and so on. And now your terminal interactions are taken over. They are, you no longer have a terminal prompt. Instead, you are now in the More application. You're in the More pager, and you can scroll down by a screenful, or you can scroll back up if you forgot to read something or if you want to reference something again. And the more you scroll down, eventually you reach the bottom of the document, and now you've read it all, and you're exited from More, and we'll talk about whether that's the default behavior of most pagers or not. You're exited from More, and you have your terminal prompt back. This was a real convenience back in the old days when, again, You didn't have the option of grabbing a mouse because there was no mouse, and the terminal wasn't a little application you ran on a desktop computer. It was a literal screen. It was a terminal. It was a screen. It was a physical monitor tethered to a supercomputer through a serial cable. I don't really know. So it was a big deal when this happened, and it happened around, I guess, maybe BSD 3, or I should say, I can confirm that the Moore pager appeared in BSD 3. So if I do man Moore, it says the Moore command is part of the Moore command appeared in 3.0 BSD. So I don't know if it existed prior to that or whether it's just saying that the Moore command, this iteration of the Moore command appeared in BSD 3.0. I'm not sure. But, and I'd be super, super interested in hearing people who have a history of with Unix beyond mine, which isn't hard to do, and hear about when pagers actually began. The earliest documentation I personally own from Unix proper is a little pocket manual I picked up from a thrift store for like $5. And it's from 1982. So that's already BSD 4.2 and later, like 4.3, something like that. So it does have Moore listed in it as a command, but obviously that's all, it's already after 3.0 of BSD. So I don't know. I mean, that, but we're talking about since 1982. So a real luxury for users back in the 80s, maybe in the 70s, I don't know. But since the Moore pager has come out back in the 80s or 70s, there have been lots of iterations. Well, there have been some iterations on the idea. There's the Moore pager, and then later came the Less pager. The joke is that less is more, and it is, and I'll talk about the specific features between those two. And then finally, the Most pager has also been released. I want to cover each one, so let's just start sort of in order of appearance, and that would be the Moore command. So like any pager, the Moore pager takes over your terminal to display the contents of a file or pipe. And that's important because a file behaves differently than a pipe in the Moore pager. The nice feature, I would say, the number one nice feature about Moore, for me at least, and I think for a large contingency of users, is that it quits automatically once it reaches the end of the file or the pipe that you are viewing. So you don't have to take any action to get out of the Moore pager. Now, I'll be honest, that actually annoyed me for a very long time, because sometimes I would reach the end of the file, but I wouldn't want to stop viewing the file. I would want to still scroll up. But if you get to the point where you've reached that last line, the Moore pager quits. That used to really annoy me personally, but I still recognized and still do recognize the advantage there. Because if you think about a new user who suddenly ends up in the Moore interface, they no longer have a terminal prompt. They're not exactly sure how they got here. They don't know what to do. You and I, as experienced Linux users, maybe, we might think, well, that's super obvious. You obviously just hit quit. But I mean, is that obvious? To some other user with some other experience, maybe it would make more sense to hit escape or control Q to quit. Or maybe control C, because they got taught that control C was kind of the cancel panic button for a terminal. Who knows what assumptions a user is going to bring. The Moore pager quitting automatically at the end of the file and returning you to your prompt, I think, is a real feature. Like, it's a power feature. Like, if you're going to recommend Moore for anything, I think that's, at least for me, that's the key feature. That's the thing that it brings to the table. For other people, it might be something different. There are other advantages, I think, to Moore. Basic Moore control is quite intuitive, I think. You scroll down by one screenful, so it doesn't go line by line by like the really obvious way, like the arrows, which you use for navigation anyway. Well, I'll get to that in a moment, but I think on the keyboard, I think a lot of people use arrows for navigation. So by default, it goes screenful by screenful, which I find can be disorienting because if you're like me, I don't wait until the last line to start scrolling. In my mind, once I get to like the last paragraph, I want to start scrolling. But for more, if I've hit the scroll button, then it gives me a new screen. And I find that quite disorienting. I prefer to sort of leave a little bit of context around what I'm reading. That said, the control itself is intuitive. You hit the down arrow to go down. You hit the up arrow to go up. It's just a thing that you do almost without thinking about it. If you end up in the More interface as a new user, I do believe most people would be able to sort of understand what's going on. Oh, I'm viewing a document here. Well, I'll scroll down to the end. That just seems like the natural thing to do. In a way, we've all been caught in that loop on accident before. Think of a terms and conditions or a EULA on some website or a software where you have to scroll down to the end and click a checkbox saying, yes, I've read this, which no one really ever reads it. Well, some people do. But you do have to scroll to the end or the computer won't let you hit the next button. So I do believe that most people have been sort of trained, hey, your computer has trapped you in a loop of viewing a document, go to the end. So I think that's super intuitive and I think that's great. More doesn't by default understand the mouse. So if you do More to that GPL and then start scrolling down, there it doesn't scroll down with your mouse. So when I say it's intuitive, I mean it's intuitive as long as I guess your hands are already on the keyboard and you've kind of had it drummed into you that the terminal really prefers the keyboard rather than the mouse. You can scroll up confusingly, but that's not More, that's the terminal. There are some nice features to More. I mean, it has precision scrolling. It does require two key presses, and I feel like it's a little bit confusing in the man page, but basically what they do is they establish a value of K. I don't know why they express it this way, but assume that there is a value called K, and then you press S on your keyboard, that's S as in Sierra, and it scrolls K lines. So if you press, in theory, if you press 1S, it should scroll down one line. If you press 2S, it should scroll down two lines. 3S, it'll scroll three lines. I say in theory because bizarrely as I try this as I speak to you right now, it's not working for me. And I don't know why. I really don't know why. It was working earlier and I don't know why it has stopped working. Now S appears to be skipping forward by a full screenful, which is very confusing to me. So let me try the other thing that the man page says. It says that if I hit one and then the space, okay, that's working. One space, two space, three space. Yeah, okay, that works. All right, so I guess the S doesn't work today. I'm not sure why. It was working earlier. So you can, in other words, scroll down with precision. Again, the man page is a little bit confusing because it says that the default value of K is 1, but at least on my system, and I don't believe I've got anything set for this, the default value seems to be much higher. In fact, I think it's 11 lines. So I'm not really sure what's going on there. Maybe it's some defaults that I'm not, you know, noticing, like something that Pat Volkerding has set. I mean, not to throw Pat Volkerding under the bus here, but I mean, it's just, I don't know. It doesn't seem to be reacting the way that the man page tells me it is going to react, and that's quite confusing. And there are other options for scrolling as well. You can scroll up by K number of screenfuls, and you can scroll up and down, and you can go to a specific number, and so on. And that's really, those are the features of More. I mean, that's it. You get the text, and you can scroll, and it quits when you're at the end of the document. That is the feature set of More. So I think if you said that it was a minimal feature set, I feel like that's pretty accurate description. It is It is minimal. And if that's what you are looking for, then more is exactly what you're looking for. I mean, that is exactly it. That's what more does. That's not a critique. I know it might sound like I'm critiquing it or being critical of it, but actually I'm just describing it. It more is, as the joke goes, more is less. It is there is not a whole lot there. And that can be a powerful feature for some people. Some people, that's all they want out of their pager. You can search as well, I should say that. But as I said earlier, too, behavior does differ depending on whether you're looking at a file or a pipe in more. So, for example, you can scroll up using the B, as in beta, key when viewing a file, but you cannot scroll back up when you are viewing a pipe. Because once you've scrolled down a pipe in more, that's finished. That's a line that is not discarded, but I mean it's out of memory. It is moved off the stack, essentially. Okay, there are some advanced, you know, what we'll call advanced features for more. To be fair, aside from the minimal feature set, there are a couple of things that they do provide. For instance, if you hit the exclamation mark on your keyboard, then you are placed into a subshell right there within more. So you have a terminal prompt and you haven't left more. So that's a really nice feature. You can now, you know, like you can be in more and then realize, I don't even know where I am on my hard drive right now. Exclamation mark gets you the prompt. PWD gets your location. Done. There's also the V key, V as in Victor, starts an editor, specifically the value set for $editor. Or $visual, or failing those. I have those set to Emacs, but if I hadn't had those set to Emacs, then I'd just be dropped off to Vi, or Vim, whatever. It says Vi in the man page, so I'm assuming they mean the minimal version of Vi. And, you know, like I say, if you're a new user, I guess that's great to be using more, but boy, don't accidentally hit the V key, because then you're in Vi, and good luck getting out of that. However, it's worth noting, I guess, that this trick doesn't really work on a very, very short file, because more quits at the end of the file. So if you send something to more, and it doesn't take up a whole screen full on your computer, then you're back at your prompt. Does that really matter? Probably not. Like, oh, I can't enter a subshell. Well, no, because you're in the shell. Oh, I can't open this file in an editor. Well, yes, you can. You just have to, you know, type the command rather than just hit the V key. So I guess don't use more as a weird shortcut for opening an editor to a specific document, and you're fine. But I just figured I'd mention it because that is that's something to consider. It also doesn't work on a pipe. You cannot open a pipe in an editor. That just doesn't work. There needs to be a file on disk that you can open. So there you go. That's the more pager. I think it's probably time for me to go get more coffee. You should too. We'll come back and talk about less and the final verdict on most. And we're back. I have good old Memphis coffee from Flight Coffee. It's very tasty. I've been drinking this for the past week, and every single time I have poured this cup of coffee, this coffee into this cup, and then taste it, I am so glad I have been back with Flight Coffee. I just cannot tell you the difference between Flight Coffee and just off-the-shelf supermarket coffee. It is noticeable in the end. You know, you think, it's not going to be that big of a deal. It's a nice hot beverage. I'll just put a little bit more coffee into the percolator and make it a little bit stronger, and it'll be fine. No, it's not fine. The flavor just isn't the same. It's amazing. So I'm so happy with the coffee situation right now. And I'm going to be a little bit more careful about the coffees that I just decide are fine to pick up, honestly. And if I do, it's going to be in small bags. That I think that was my mistake. Previously, when I go out of town, I'll go to a hotel. A lot of times they have coffee there, you know, in the hotel, like in the hotel room, they'll have a coffee, a kettle, and a press, a plunger, and a bag of coffee or a jar of coffee, whatever. That's fine. Now, in New Zealand, you have to be aware, sometimes they try to pass off instant, quote-unquote, coffee as actual coffee. I mean, it's pretty easy to identify. You look at it, you smell it, you realize it's not really coffee. You just don't make it. So, and that's not just a New Zealand thing. That happens, you know, in France. It happens in England. I've seen it a lot of places. I think it happens more in, this is my impression, I think it might happen more often where tea is predominant, because they're like, coffee, yeah, here's some crystals, like, go make yourself a cup of brown liquid and pretend like you're enjoying it. No. And then also, I think when coffee is otherwise really good, like in France, you can't get a bad cup of coffee unless you say, hey, I just want a quick cup of coffee. No, if you just ask for coffee, they'll give you instant coffee. Or at least when I was there, they just gave me instant coffee and it was horrible. But if you ask for like an Americano, then you get, you know, espresso and hot water. So you do have to be careful. And so sometimes when I go out of town, I'll just go out to the nearest supermarket and buy like just a 200 gram bag of coffee. And it won't be the best coffee. It's not flight coffee. But it's coffee that is passable. It's like, fine, whatever. You know, it could be Robert Harris, it could be Jed's, whatever it is. It's like, yeah, whatever. At least it's not instant, right? But then when I bring that bag of 200 gram coffee home, then it's gone in like a day. And it's still just sort of a remnant of like, oh, that was a thing that I had to do. But my mistake, I think, was that I went to the supermarket and I bought like a 1 kg bag of coffee or whatever it was. Yeah, I think it was 1 kg of coffee beans. And then I was stuck with it for like weeks. And I had to complain about it on my podcast every week, which I'm sure everyone really enjoyed. So in the future, not going to do that. Like 1 kg, yeah, sure, I'll get that if it's a known quantity. I mean, a known brand of coffee, reliable brand. But anything that I don't know that I like, I'm just, you know, off the shelf in a supermarket, it's just going to be a 200 gram bag. And that's it. That way, if it's not any good, I don't have to deal with it for an entire month. I mean, and that doesn't obviously, you know, if I go to a cafe and they have great coffee, I'm not going to limit myself to 200 gram bags. I mean, I'll get the 1 kg bag. But I mean, for that one off, just need some spare coffee, less is more. Hey, speaking of less, the Less Pager came out eventually. And it was the deliberate antithesis, the antithesis to more. And it was, I guess what I meant was it's deliberately pejorative. It says it's the Less Page. And that's silly because actually Less has more features than more. And so I guess what they were really saying is, as I've been saying this entire show, less is more, that's the joke. So, everything you have in more is provided to you in less. That includes the fancy stuff like exclamation mark to get a subshell, or opening the current document in a editor that with the V or Victor key. That works. But in addition to everything that more has, less also gives you precise control. And that's including whether you are using a file or a pipe. Don't even think about files and pipes in less. Like they're basically not entirely, but they're basically treated as equals. You can use the arrow keys on your keyboard to scroll up or down just one line. It's just one key press, one line, no problem. And again, I think that's pretty intuitive. I don't think you're going to find too many people who are confused by that interface. You can press a space bar to scroll down an entire screen. Now, you're probably thinking that seems kind of abrasive, because in the More Pager, the exact opposite was true. You press an arrow to go by a full screen and a space to go by a line. And now in this one, you're pressing arrows to go down a line and a space to go down a screen. I realize that that is abrasive. It is like literally turning things on its head. However, I'm just going to say I'm behind it. This that makes sense. It maintains the intuitiveness and it just reframes it. Like, you're in less now. And when you do the thing that you think you should do, the arrow key, you're going to be advanced a line. You can press a bunch of other keys to try to figure out how to get a full screen, if that's like, for whatever reason, your preference. But the default action that I think 99% of the people will try first, the arrow key, does something completely reasonable, which is a line-by-line advancement of the file. So I yes, it's different than more. Is it better? I mean, I like it better personally. I think it would probably annoy me if I really liked advancing by screenfuls and was really used to more. But I don't know. I quite like it. Does it make it any easier to switch between the two? No, it does not. If you're not sure whether you're in less or more, then it's just who knows? You just press, I guess, something. What arrow or spacebar will advance the file in some way, and that would help you determine what kind of page you're in. But there is definitely a little bit of a dissonance there, and yes, I think that's a little bit troublesome, but I mean, it's just they're two different applications and they behave differently. Now, you can also enter a number before a key press to scroll a specific number of lines or screens. So you can do the same trick, you know, one. I think unless it's F for forward, is that right? Let's try it. Well, let's try 3F. Yeah, it's forward. 3B is back. Here's something cool, though. Unless, you can use your mouse. Now, caveat. You have to launch less with the dash dash mouse option. If you've done that, then you can use your mouse to scroll through a file in less. You can try it right now. Less dash dash mouse, user, share, doc, whatever. And then you can just scroll through a file. And it doesn't scroll your terminal. It scrolls less. It's very cool. You can even adjust how many lines your mouse moves, like each scroll moves, with the dash dash wheel dash lines option. Now, realistically, you're not going to type in less dash dash mouse dash dash wheel lines 5 slash user doc share whatever, user share doc. And what you will likely do is either assign these to environment variables, or, you know, create an alias where that includes dash dash mouse dash dash wheel lines, whatever. So that goes for all of these things. I'm listing options as if though you were going to use them, but fully, you know, the realistic, the likely use of these is that you will find the options that you like, and then you alias less to less with the options, or you set less environment variables. It also has features, speaking of scrolling, that helps you keep track of where you are in a file that you read, which I absolutely love. When you launch less with dash dash highlight dash unread, or just dash W for short, but that's dash dash high, H-I-L-I-T-E, so misspellings throughout, highlight unread, or just dash W. Then the first unread line after a scroll is highlighted. So if you move like a screen full, then it highlights the line that you need to look at. Like, this is where you left off, or rather, this was the next sentence you were about to read before you scrolled. It's just so cool. Really, really nice. You can load several files into less all at once. You just list a bunch of files and they all open in less. Now, they're not like concatenated. You could do a cat and cat them together and then pipe the output the less. But if you just list them, like, you know, less file 1.txt, file 2.txt, file 3.txt, then they're loaded. And then you can do something like colon P for the colon N for the next file, colon P for the previous file. Or if you want to add to your loaded files, you can press colon E, or just E, actually, that's a shortcut to open a new file. So again, you're not leaving less here. You can switch back and forth between files. You can open files with E. You can close a file with colon D, that removes the current file from your file list. It's a very flexible interface. And like I said, you could still open something in an editor with the V key. You can quit with Q. That's the thing about less. It does not by default, we'll come back to that in a moment, it does not by default let you out. It assumes that if you've launched less, then you intend to be in less. And if you want to quit, you have to press Q. I think that this is the biggest barrier to handing a new user the power of less over more. Because if they get trapped in less, then they have to figure out how to get back out. Now, understand, I'm not talking about Vim-level confusion, I don't think that this is like a huge barrier to adopting Linux. You know, I'm not saying that this is a big deal. We're down to the really fine details here. All of these pagers basically do the same thing. So I'm just looking at just the really fine details. And I'm thinking that one of the details is for a new user, how do you get out of the thing? And for more, it makes it super simple. Less, by default, you have to press Q to quit. However, if you want, either because you're getting ready to hand this to a new user who you don't believe will ever be able to figure out how to press Q instead of escape to get out of this application, or because you just prefer the way more works for yourself, in my case, I don't like how more works, and yet for Git pagers, I hate getting trapped in a Git output, like Git branch. I don't want that to go to a pager, usually. Or if I do, I want it to then give me my prompt back at the end of the list. So you can make less behave like that with dash dash quit dash at dash EOF. That's all capitals, like all capitals, dash dash capital Q, capital U, capital I, capital T, dash capital A, capital T, dash capital E, capital O, capital F. And what that stands for is quit at end of file. EOF is end of file. And that's an option. Unless you can just say dash dash quit at EOF. And then when less reaches the end of the file, it quits automatically. So it behaves exactly like more in that respect. So less is truly, truly like it's just everything and the kitchen sink. So it is, again, I mean, this is obviously their intent. It's a joke. It's cheeky. It is, less is the exact opposite of its name. It has everything and it is great. And I've not even covered everything in this brief description of less. I mean, there, if you open up the man page, there are so many more things. There are searches, there are regular expressions, there are just all kinds of things that you can do within less. There are things that you can change, there are defaults you can set. It just goes on and on. So less, it's a big application with lots of features, and it's almost overwhelming to look at the man page because you just think, look, all I want to do is scroll. Like, that's what I'm interested in here. Well, luckily, that's the easy part. Launch less, press an arrow, you're done. Like, you're good to go. Refer to the man page when you think, I wonder if it has the ability to do, and it probably does. All right. So what the heck is the most command all about? What is this most pager doing? Well, I didn't really even think about it. I just, you know, back in episode 375, saw that there was a most command, checked it out. I don't even remember. I mean, I knew. I have to go back and listen to the episode. It's from Jedsoft. So it's from the author of the Jed text editor, which, if you may recall, also was sort of caught up in all this slang stuff. He has this little scripting language he calls slang or slang. And so there's a bunch of customization that you can do sort of with slang if you learn slang, which I have not. And for whatever reason, one of the things that this programmer came up with was a pager, and he called it most. More, less, most. Clever play on sort of a tradition, but what's it all about? Well, honestly, most is mostly like more. You can advance either by line or by screen. To be fair, the advance function, or the scrolling function, is, I guess, a little bit more like less than it is like more, because you do just press arrows instead of like a number and a space, or a number and an S, whatever, like in more. But in terms of like sort of basic, like, you know, you look at the man page and it's kind of going to look like more. There's not a whole lot there. It is just mostly a pager. Like, you can search, but don't look for anything too fancy. You can do, I think you can do a subshell. Can you? Did I uninstall this yet? Let's look. No, I've not uninstalled it yet. No, you cannot do a subshell. I made that up. You cannot do a subshell. You can search backwards. The big deal about most, like the I think the selling feature of most, if you're going to sell it to someone, the thing you want to emphasize is that it has the ability to split its window. So if you've ever used Emacs and done a split screen, or GNU screen, or Tmux, where you can like, or Terminator, Terminator, like where you can split your window into like little panes, little panels, then that's what most can do. And better yet, it can lock two files together. So you scroll in one window pane and the other window pane scrolls. And the cool thing about this is that it makes comparing two code files really, really easy, because you can just scroll through them at the same time on the same screen, side by side, or not side by side, one on top of the other, one above the other, and just compare them. So it's Control X, and then you hit the number 2 to create a horizontal split. Now you can press Control L to place a lock on that pane, and then Control O for other to move to the other pane, and then you press Control L on it, and now when you scroll, you're scrolling through both files at the same time. Now, the thing that I noticed about this feature was that that's not how I compare files. I compare files side by side, not above and below. So I feel like that's a little bit weird for me personally. I can see the advantage, you know, probably the intent is, well, what if your screen isn't big enough to have two files side by side without like weird line breaks and stuff? So maybe that was the concern. But for me personally, it the above and below comparison just, nah, doesn't work. And it also lacks a lot of the functions of a good diff viewer. And I've done episodes about diff programs like KDiff and Meld and Compare and all these diff applications, and even GitDiff, to be honest. Like, all of those for me provide much clearer alerts of like, hey, there's a difference here. Look at this line. There's a difference right here. Like, most doesn't do that. It doesn't have any of that. It's literally just locking two files together and scrolling them in synchronization. So don't get it confused for a robust diff application. It is not that. What it is a nice little minimal pager, a lot like more, but with what I guess I would argue as sort of reasonable defaults. I mean, by which I mean, rather than pressing one space or whatever it is in more to advance one line, you just press the arrow key. I don't even know how to do screenfuls in most, because I just don't. That's not how I scroll. It's space. Okay. So space for a screenful, arrow for a line by line. That to me makes sense. That should just be the default for everything, although I respect that a long-time hardcore most user probably would not appreciate the interface suddenly changing based on my opinion. So, like, I get why more uses what it uses. I mean, it's got a lot of history behind it. But I just think for most users, I think, and I mean for the bulk of users, I think the defaults of less and most make a lot more sense. The thing about most is, for me, you have to press Q at the end. There's no way to get out of it. So if you're using that as your sole pager on your system, then, you know, if you do a git branch and your pager is set to most, then you're just trapped in most until you press Q. It's pretty annoying. So most is really just a variation on a theme of more. It takes the sort of intuitive controls from less. It adds the split screen feature from, you know, GNU screen or Tmux or choose your example. And that's what it is. I mean, otherwise it is a very minimal pager. Other than the screen splits, it's basically more. That's basically what most is, which maybe is why they did a spin on the name. You know, it's more and most. It's not. I don't know whatever's less than less. They didn't go in that direction. They did sort of branch off philosophically from more. Now there are also a bunch of apparently S-slang or slang features within most. Like you can kind of hack on it or something. I'm not 100% sure because I don't know slang, but that could be a feature for people. You know, really sort of embedded in that. In that space. I don't know how many people are embedded in Jedsoft S-Lang space, but for whatever number of users that is, most could have an appeal there, if I'm even understanding everything correctly. I've not looked into S-Lang really at all, so I don't feel qualified to sort of comment on how cool or not cool or, you know, what you can do with it, because I just don't know. So those are the three pagers that I'm aware of, more, less, and most. And as I said, back in 2020 or 2021, whatever, I switched to most full time on my Slackware machine. I just thought, I'm going to try living with most. And I did. I lived with most for 2-3 years, whatever it's been. And, you know, bizarrely, there were times as recently as 2 weeks ago that I would still type less. It had been 3 years of most, or 2 years, or whatever it was, of most, and I still typed in less. I learned less really early on. Like that was my pager. And I mean, I was thinking about aliasing less to most. I was very nearly, because it kept happening for me, but I didn't. And finally, like last week or so, I typed in less, and I thought, you know what? Like I've tried most for 3 years and I miss less, because less has a lot of really nice features and most doesn't. And so I switched back to less. So long story short, in case you were on the edge of your seat about the state of my pager on Slackware, it is now back to less. I'm not using most anymore. It's over. We've tried to make it work for 3 years. And I mean, the mistyping of the command that's not a big deal. Like, okay, so I can't get over less versus most, like whatever. Like muscle memory is a very, very powerful thing. But the thing that really tipped the scales on this was the amount of features of less. And, you know, I do like to think of myself as someone who can handle minimalism, both in life and on computers. And yet, if you hand me something with a lot of features and also something with very few features, more often than not, I do take the thing with more features, or you might say with the most features, because I figure you can always ignore the features that you don't need. But if there's 20 features there, and I'm using just the three that are my favorite, then I've found a perfect application. And if you, dear listener, have the same application with the same 20 features, and you're using the four features of that are your favorite, and they're completely different features than the ones I'm using, then you also have a perfect application. And I realize, you know, there's issues of scaling and stuff like that, that, you know, you can't just say, well, everything should just have everything in the kitchen sink in it. Like, that doesn't always work for all things, but I'm just saying, in general, if you give me the two choices, very frequently I'm going to take the thing with more features, as long as my computer can handle it, because then I get to cull out the stuff that I don't care about and focus on the stuff that I do care about. And that's just kind of that's the way I gravitate. I'm not going to say it's like my philosophy, because it's not my philosophy. It's just the way I gravitate. I've just noticed it about myself. And that's true. Now, could I use most? Could I use more if less, like, for some reason wasn't available or had fallen out of maintenance or whatever? Yeah, absolutely. Like, they're perfectly serviceable pagers. Like, they do exactly what you would want a pager to do. And you could make that old argument, the pager should only do one thing and it should do it well. Well, more is that pager, I think. I don't know what they were thinking about offering you a subshell and an ability to open. Well, I think I think that's defensible, the ability to open something in an editor. And there is that search thing, though. There is that search function that they do. But yeah, I mean, more really does. I think it's got exactly what you need in a pager. Most has everything that you need in a pager, plus that nice, cool little feature about splitting your screen. But less, I mean, less really just has everything that you would want out of a pager. And then some, you know, you've the ability to open lots of files, the ability to scroll in different ways, the ability to search in different ways. It's really nice. And it's got so many options, and you can control how many lines you scroll per scroll. You can control whether you quit at the end of the file. You can there's options for jumping to the end of the file, except not all the way to the end of the file. And just everything that you could want. It's just, it's really nice. And after living for 3 years without those features, it is so good to have less back on my computer. And it's, I'm not going away from less anytime soon. It is a nice pager. If anyone asks, that's my recommendation. With caveats, it's not perfect because I think, you know, depending on who asks me. If it's an experienced user, yeah, less. It's great. If it's a new user who just needs to look at a file and then not get trapped in that viewer, then more might be the way that I would suggest going, because I would have confidence that without any special options, without anything set differently, like, more will show you the file and then get out. And yet, for other users, that's not the desired behavior. Like, for me, that's generally not the desired behavior. So it's a fascinating study in the different kinds of options that you have and why one or the other might be preferable to a different, you know, to a specific use case. So those are your pagers. Less, more, and most. Less being the power user, everything included plus the kitchen sink. More is the very, very basics. Most is the very, very basics with file comparison built in. That's it. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening. My name's Klaatu. You can reach me anytime over email with feedback or comments, tips, or just to say hi. My email address is klaatu@slackermedia.info. You can also reach me on the Mastodon network, not Klaatu, at mastodon.xyz. The show's intro and outro music is by Fat Chance Lester. You can find their music on bandcamp.com or on gnuworldorder.info. In the archive, you'll find a music directory containing the album from which this music has been extracted. Until next time, thanks for listening, and keep the source open.
One video computer system with more games than any other.